This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable. All right, everybody. This is the Man Therapy Podcast. My name is Dan and his name is Kyle. Kyle, how are we doing, dude?
I'm doing pretty good. School's out for the summer.
Yeah.
So that's less
stress. What's that mean in your household?
It means less stress in some ways and more stress in other ways. Mm-hmm. It's nice to not have to do the rat race of getting everybody ready in the morning and get up at a certain time and all that stuff. But then It's also just introduces no structure or much less structure. So I bet everybody listening would connect with the idea that kids thrive on structure. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why kids generally do pretty well at school and all the things. And then once summer happens, it's just like they think every day should be, you know, they're like, what incredible thing are we doing today?
Yeah.
It's like going outside and playing would be the incredible thing you're going to do today, bud.
Yep.
For every day.
Yeah, dude, I had a setting expectations conversation with my kids. I'm not joking, dude. I'm like, hey, listen, because I'm doing all of this for one person, and that's my wife, right? She works from home. She has meetings throughout the day. If she gets frustrated, then the whole house is frustrated. And then that derails my day because I'm the guy who has to clean up the mess, right? And get kids realigned into different things. I had, for example, yesterday, anytime someone knocks at our door or comes in our house, like quickly, not just a normal person walking up and opening the door, our dog goes bananas. And then my wife might be on a meeting, which distracts her, frustrates her. And so I've had a conversation where it's just like, hey, listen, this cannot happen. Like this cannot happen anymore. And here's what I expect from you. I need chores done. I need rooms cleaned. I need all of these things that, you know, I'm going to give you some leniency on when they get done, but by the end of the day, if they're not done, I'm going to start riding your ass. And that has to be a priority. Cause if it's not, then, you know, your mom's going to get frustrated and then that's not good. So, we got to have some stability this summer in the house. Cause last year was rough. Last summer was extremely rough.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, yes, yes. Setting expectations.
Totally agree. I'm always interested to see what one more year of development does for kids. Mm-hmm. Like my kids are like slightly better each year with their maturity levels and what they can handle. Right. One thing I've noticed is that my kids do better with expectations like that when it's like, hey, here's your list of chores. Once this is all done, you can have your electronics. Mm-hmm. And I don't care when that is. So, you know, if you don't do your chores all day, you don't get your electronics all day. If you do all of your chores well right away, you can have your electronics right away. That's the thing that I do in my house is get all this stuff done, then you can have your electronics. Don't even ask me until it's all done. And then, you know, get a little pushback at first where they beg, but like pretty quickly they just run and do all their shit and then they come and get their electronics.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had even this scenario yesterday, first day of summer, by the way, yesterday, first day of summer, I go outside to my oldest boy, no shirt on. I'm like, hey, dude, you play outside, you're going to get sunburned. Oh, I'll be all right, Dad. I don't burn. I'm like, who the fuck told you that, dude? Like, who told you that? That's the stupidest thing. Now, what's he doing? He's downstairs right now complaining of his skin being, my sunburn hurts. I'm like, hey, listen. I've been on this planet for 45 years. I know something. I know something. Yeah. Maybe listen to the guy who's been sunburnt before. But like you said on the last episode, It takes burning your finger on the stove to understand that the stove is hot, right?
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
It's a, I guess it's a lesson. So,
yeah, you should just go that. Downstairs right now and whisper in his ear, never forget this.
Yeah.
Never That's forget funny. This feeling.
That's funny.
This is sunburn.
Right. Okay. Summertime, you know, lots to juggle in summertime. But I want to talk about a current event that's happened in my life that I want to vent essentially the little bit of it has to do with who I am and what I talk about and what I enjoy doing in my life and how that kind of transfers over to my business. And then also just like the culture of what we as Americans accept. It just blows my mind. Okay. And so, recently I've been back, like for those of you, let's say there's, I'm going to guess because I launch this on the Sportsman's Empire podcast network, which is heavily hunting and outdoors related. And, but it, there's also people out there that probably find this or listen to this who are not outdoorsmen or don't hunt or fish. And if you do, welcome. Right. But what I'm getting at is I talk about hunting, I talk about fishing, and in that category, sometimes we talk about firearms, okay? For those of you who don't know, we use firearms to shoot animals so that we can hunt them, get their meat, eat their meat, whatever, you know? And so I have had my YouTube channel taken down. And I appealed it. And then my appeal came back this morning. And my YouTube channel that I have had for, I don't even know how many years, I would say almost 10 now, has now been taken down because of me talking about, or not necessarily me, but the people who are on my network. This was the network feed talking about how they use firearms when they hunt, how they talk about hunting and things like that. And YouTube said, nope, don't care about what, about anything. And it's an axe and I'm done. And that YouTube channel is now, I'm going to guess, permanently banned.
Wow. So
that's
really,
that's sixth. And it's all happened recently too. Right. So all of the content that was on there 5 years ago just now started getting flagged. And so it would get flagged. And then I would be like, hey, listen. So I deleted all whole bunch of content. I deleted the connection to the RSS feed, everything to prevent it from happening. But what no one told me, or no one shares, is you have to go back and delete all of the individual videos. Cause I thought you delete the RSS feed coming into it. That would fix the problem. Nope. All the individuals. So I had to guess from 5 to 10 years of this, what videos I was going through and having to talk about guns and firearms and things like that. And it would all like, so I took down a whole bunch of stuff and they would go back and find the ones that I would miss and flag them and then let it expire and then flag it another one and then let it expire and flag another one to the point where it's just like the only thing I could have possibly done was take down all of my content and start fresh again. And I didn't feel like doing that. And so, dude, it just really, Here's what frustrates me. Gun owners get a bad rap in this culture, this North American culture that we live in. Hunters get a bad rap for what they do. But just like all people, we're mostly good people, dude. Like 99% of us are just good people who have good values and want to do this. Meanwhile, I can scroll on YouTube, find videos that are doing and saying, in my opinion, things that are way worse right? When you can have pretty much pornography on YouTube. I mean, just look at any rap video that's on YouTube. And I love rap music, but look at the videos. Look how they portray women. Look what the LGBTQ, LMNOP people can get away with on there. And I don't even give a shit really about what they're doing. But the stuff that all these other people are, it's accepted. And now because I decide to have an quote unquote alternative lifestyle, like all these other people do, it's in no way, shape or form, a nonviolent thing. Now I'm done.
Wow.
And so that's the frustrating part is I get my values judged. Meanwhile, all these other people who are doing way crazier things than me are not getting their judge, quote unquote, judgment, or the algorithm isn't picking up what they're doing. So,
right. What is the message that they give you? Like flagged for this reason,
violating community guidelines.
Yeah.
Then you click on it and it says firearms, and it'll give you a time frame of when it was talked about. And and then you click on it and it will say something about like, I was using, I took my boy, one of them was this. I took my son out to go hunt. I put the gun on his lap and, here's what it was. One of the first ones I got was, after school, me and my friends, we would keep our guns in the principal's office. Right. So they would talk like even me right now talking about this.
Yeah.
On this podcast, I could potentially get flagged for this conversation right now.
Yeah.
On a podcast where we are talking of nothing to do with any type of violence against a group of people, just about an inanimate object. Right. So this guy's talking about how before school, his principal was like, hey, don't leave them in your car. Bring them into my office where I know it's safe. And I'll just keep them in my office where they're locked. And then after school, he would hand them back out. And the next thing you know, it's like, you know, these guys are going hunting out in some field somewhere. And that's what was acceptable all these years ago. And so he was telling a story. You know what I mean? And now, I don't know. That got flagged. And then another one was a guy talking about how he likes to reload his own ammunition. Like even me saying these words, I know I'm probably going to get flagged for them, which I don't know, dude. I don't know. So that's the that's what's frustrating me, today. And it's just like, which kind of is going to transfer into what I really want to talk about today, but it's just like, there's a lot of people out there who love doing a certain thing. They're good people, right? Imagine if all of a sudden there was a culture shift in the United States and anybody who collects stamps are a threat to society and culture.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then these people get ostracized for collecting stamps or whatever enter all of it. It's just, I don't know, man.
Right.
I'm just,
no, it's, is it a, I mean, I don't expect you to necessarily know the answer to this question, but I wonder if it's, is it a YouTube algorithm that's going through and listening for certain
100%.
Words? So it's not a person sitting there. So like basically YouTube just has this policy. If these words get used, then we flag it.
Yeah.
So
in a certain order. Like,
yes, YouTube doesn't know the context. Potentially you're not personally getting targeted. It's just firearms are such a sensitive issue that they just don't want to have any culpability for it.
100%.
They YouTube just doesn't want to be responsible for like, I learned this on YouTube.
Yep.
It's kind of the bad apple theory. It just takes one bad actor.
Yep.
You know, like I know, well, I mean, you know, I'm from Iowa and I know a freaking shit ton of hunters. I've hunted, you know, my family has firearms. You know, a lot of people that I know do, and a lot of people I know are hunters, and they're all good people. Yeah. It would just take one person that like learned how to do something bad from a YouTube video, and YouTube just doesn't want any part of that. Is that basically, do you think that's basically what the issue is?
Something along those lines. Yeah. Or where to get said, you know, where to get these things, where you can get them. I know that if I, for example, I don't even want to say it. So I'm going to give you a metaphor.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, if, you know, I bought these Nike shoes at this store, right? I got really good service. These Nike shoes were badass. Dude, I love, you know, going out and playing basketball in my Nike shoes, right? Yeah. That's my favorite. If you talk about that, flagged.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can't talk about the stores where you get them. You can't talk about, how you work on them. You can't talk about how you use them a lot of the times. So, but yet my content gets flagged. There are some inconsistencies because there's other channels up there that are doing the same thing and they're still up and running.
Right.
And so, man, I don't understand.
My guess there, Dan, would be that it's just a matter of time because they have just millions upon millions of videos and billions of minutes for the algorithm to comb through. So like all of those other channels, their time's probably coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then they're not after. So it doesn't sound to me like they're after hunters. They just don't really care who gets caught up in the issue. It's just if Nike shoes are mentioned, you're screwed eventually.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it is
affecting you personally, but you also are taking it personally that like they're targeting you and your lifestyle, which it doesn't actually sound to me like that's true, that they're targeting your lifestyle or your life choices like that. It sounds like this country has a big issue with Nike shoes and they and YouTube just doesn't want anyone to ever be able to come back and say, oh, I learned about Nike shoes on here. And so they're just blanket statement, like trying to scrub all that off. And you're getting caught up in it.
Yeah, I would say that it is a personal, not it is, because if it wasn't, dude, we have bad apples in every category, including stamp collectors who probably lie, cheat, and steal to get ahead in whatever it is that they're trying to accomplish. Right. You know, if there's a video that somehow makes it on there where they talk about using Nike shoes as in a very violent way and what they're going to do to these poor, innocent people, then yes, that is exactly what there's bad apples everywhere, right?
Oh, yeah.
But there's more people who are not. So the people who just love Nike shoes, right? Oh, yeah. They just absolutely love Nike shoes.
Oh, yeah.
And they love going to out in the country and Nike shoeing pop cans from, you know, with their kids or working on Nike shoes or coming up with accessories to make a Nike shoe better. Like all of those people now, we also live in a country where our constitution says that we have the right to use Nike shoes, right? And for some reason, whatever.
I totally agree. I totally agree with all that. It's kind of like, hey, there's a bad guy in the cornfield, and instead of finding him, they're just burning down the entire cornfield.
Yeah, exactly. They don't care.
Right. They don't care. But that's my point. Like they don't care. So I don't think they're after hunters or after collectors or after, you know, anybody's lifestyle. I think they're just like, oh, that word got used. Mm-hmm. Boom, done. And whoever, if a stamp collector says it, boom, done.
Well, but how often are firearms being mentioned in a stamp collector's YouTube channel?
You're totally right there that you and people like you are much more likely to get flagged for it. I'm just saying, I don't think that they're out for you or people like you. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And maybe I'm taking it personal, but I disagree
respectfully, because why would they have an algorithm in place for a specific thing if it wasn't like if we really did judge people based off of like individuals, right? But you, I mean, it's like the news, right? Like, let's be completely honest here. Mm-hmm. How many quote unquote mass shootings are there every day in America, right? Yeah. There's not a ton, right? Yeah. But right. The news outlet gets a hold of it and says mass shooting. But statistically, if we're going to look at statistics.
Yeah, it's low.
It's low. Okay.
Right.
But what do? They have to find a way to appease people who are not educated, essentially, or whatever it is that they do. And then they have to say, oh, man, yeah, here at YouTube, we are taking these steps to prevent that from happening. And if you fall under this blanket, you know, we don't care. Meanwhile, there's a whole bunch of content on there in different categories about how individuals can potentially harm themselves, right? Because some influencer who doesn't know shit about dieting or maybe wants to take a certain drug or hormone or something like that to change who you are, they're also responsible for that. So, but those things aren't getting flagged. All right, guys, you know me, and I love eating wild game. But I don't eat wild game every single night. Every once in a while, I'll reach for a side of beef. And that's why I trust Omaha Steaks. Because Omaha Steaks are sent directly to my door, I can keep my freezer stocked without having to go to the grocery store. It's honestly like having a trusted butcher and gourmet food shop right at your house. Last week, I pulled out their pure ground ribeye burgers for a quick grill session. The flavor and marbling was unreal, rich, juicy, and miles ahead of any average grocery store meat. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF. For $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. I've been trying Underbrush from Nathan and Sons, and it's not really regular gum. It's remineralizing chewing gum, basically an oral care routine in gum form. You brush in the morning and at night, but after lunch, there's a big gap where most of us do nothing for our teeth. Underbrush is made for that moment. Chew it for 5 to 10 minutes, spit it out, and move on. Or keep chewing it if you like the feel of it. It's made with something called hydroxyapatite. That's the same mineral your enamel is made from, and natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it has a firmer, really satisfying chew. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making, packing, and shipping gum every day. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan and Sons. Check them out today at nathanandsons.com. Right? Like,
oh, yeah, I know, right? Yeah, my mind instantly went to like, I see like videos of street fights and people teaching fighting techniques, even with weapons and like boxing and MMA. And like, I one thing I do sometimes is watch airsoft videos.
Yep.
Like that stuff's really fun to watch too. Like there's all kinds of violence on YouTube for sure. And actually, I mean, it'd be interesting to see a breakdown of like what gets watched, what's most popular on YouTube. I would guess that violence is actually a pretty popular.
Oh, absolutely.
Generally speaking, because people are just
all negative themed things get higher views, dude. If I put a video out there and my video was about you, and I said, hey, dude, I just want to let everybody know Kyle is one of the nicest guys in Swisher. Here's why. As opposed to, hey, Swisher, watch out for Kyle. Here are the reasons I don't like him. That second video is getting way more views. Way more views. Anything negative, it is just, and that's where the algorithm, that's where all the algorithms are focused on. Dude. Yeah, it's like negative content. And so
totally.
And yet we all sit here and use it, dude. Every day.
Well, shoot, man. So, tell me, because I'm naive to this, like, how does that affect you that all of that's taken down? I mean, it obviously sucks, and you obviously have created a lot of content for, like, people to learn from and be exposed to and be entertained by. How else does it affect you personally and also as a business person? Does it affect your business?
Okay. So here's what I'm going to say about that. When it comes to my business, because of what is going on and hunting, I have never tried to monetize anything social media or anything YouTube because of this specific reason. Hmm. Imagine me getting a check from someone where in my contract, I said, I'm going to provide this service from you or for you on my YouTube channel. My YouTube channel gets taken down and the people are like, hey, we noticed your YouTube channel got taken down. And I go, yeah, it got taken down. Well, we want our money back. And maybe I have invested that money already into the business, or I've spent it, or whatever the case is. Now I have to find a way to pay him back. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't fulfill a contract. And so that's why I have never, since I've been doing this, I have ever done anything social media wise that have been involved in my contracts, because I know that anytime you talk about hunting or anytime you talk about firearms, that stuff is getting way less exposure and maybe even not being shown at all in the algorithm. You know what I mean? So I can post it, but Instagram goes, oh, thanks for posting, but we're not going to show this to anybody.
Yeah. You bring something in that's like shiny and pretty, and they're like, oh, cool, thanks for bringing that in. And they just to go put it in the back room.
Yeah, exactly. That's about their algorithm. It has nothing to do with the quality of the content or whether or not it's safe, or it's just like anytime these things are shown or mentioned. Dude, several years ago, I posted a sunset. This is no joke. I posted a sunset when I was out in South Dakota mule deer hunting. Beautiful sunset. Posted it. About 45 minutes later, I got my entire Instagram taken down and flagged because the algorithm thought that picture looked like a wound, and that wound meant I was harming myself.
Wow.
So the algorithm picked it up and was like, and then they sent me a message saying, if you feel like harming yourself, please, here's a suicide prevention telephone number.
Wow.
And just from posting a picture of a sunset, even the caption was like, you don't get this, you know, sitting on your couch or something like that. And there got taken down. Now, my YouTube or all that stuff gets taken down. That's going to have an impact on my life, right? Like, that's how I promote all my podcast stuff. That's where I talk, you know, like I tell people about my podcast and what I'm doing and new and things like that. So that gets taken down. That's a big deal. That could cripple me from an income standpoint. Mm-hmm. But that's what I've decided to do with my life, right? And so I don't know, man. It gets really frustrating, especially when you know you're not doing anything wrong.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's just it's not a very sophisticated algorithm that's checking for this. They're really just like, hey, these words or these words in this order, and you're done. And you could be actually like the world's biggest advocate against violence, and so you're naturally talking about these things and telling people not to do X, Y, and Z, and you could get your stuff taken down.
Wow. Meanwhile, they can show a video of a security camera caught on tape of a drive-by shooting or a homicide, or a guy walks into a location and pulls out his Nike shoe and starts hooping people. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I'm just whatever. Yeah. I just get really frustrated with it. And, but I also know that there's not much I can do because I've gone through the appeal process. The other thing is the appeal process is an email to an inbox that is checked by people in a data center somewhere in a different country who, based off of their replies to me, do not, English is probably their second language. And so I go, you know, because there's probably thousands and thousands of emails that go into this inbox in a day. And it's a copy and pasted statement back to me saying, hey, listen, we have reviewed this and we still think that this is, it's copy and pasted. I've had it for all of my things, all of it. And so,
wow,
is what it is, dude.
You're rightfully frustrated. That's really sucks.
Yep. But it's also, you know, I can't, you know, someone right now could be listening to this. You chose this. You chose to do this thing. And I can't blame them for thinking that either. So,
yeah.
Dude.
What are the other, you know, like YouTube isn't the only tube. Like, are there other popular outlets for hunters?
So there's been people who have tried to create that, right?
Yeah.
But they do not have any way, shape, or form the reach that YouTube has. Okay.
Well, yeah.
So they go there, they invest in it, they put their content there. But YouTube is a one-stop shop. I don't just like hunting. I like watching videos of fat people fall too, right? And so like, I don't want to have to go to five different things to watch videos. I want to go to one place. And that's exactly what YouTube is. So they are a powerhouse, and they're so big that if 1,000 people a day get kicked off of their platform, it doesn't mean anything to them.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't mean anything to them.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Frustrating.
Yep. So, there's that, dude. I want to talk about a couple things here real quick when we get into this. How does Kyle value himself? How do you put a value on who you are as a person? Mm-hmm. Maybe even talk about the two big ones, the husband and the father.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How do I value myself? Yeah, that's a good question. How do I value myself as a husband and as a father? So when I think of how to value myself, I think of trying to be internally anchored versus externally dependent. And what I mean by that is, and this is, I'm talking about generally speaking now, what I try to do and what I encourage people to do is spend some time thinking about what you think makes a good person and what are your specific values for each role that you play, so that you could say, this is what I personally think a good blank is. This is what I think a good husband is. This is what I think a good father is. This is what I think a good brother is. This is what I think a good friend is. This is what I think a good citizen is. Mm-hmm. This is what I think a good, like, you outside of anybody else, or if you're going to look at other people, you look for like ideas that you connect with and not like, oh, I have to live up to their standards. So you do this exercise of identifying what you think about each of those things. What does Dan think it makes a good husband? What does Dan think makes a good father? So you have that. And then you basically try hard to live up to your own set of values for that. And you're never going to do it perfectly, but just the fact that you've set your moral compass, so to speak, you always know generally what direction to be walking in morally. Yeah. And then as long as you do that, you can basically call yourself a good person, or you can basically say that you have value.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of overlaps. You know, if it's like, how do I value myself as a husband? Well, I want to be kind to my wife. I want to be honest. I want to be trustworthy. I want to be dependable. I want to be supportive. I want to be predictable. You know, the list goes on. And so, so those are the things I've decided for myself. And then I just try to do those things every day.
Yeah.
And whenever any situation comes up, I go, what would my values say I should do here?
Right.
And then whatever my values say I should do, that's the thing that I do. And then I can say that I'm like walking the line. Right.
Yeah.
And then if I ever make a mistake or didn't do something as well as I want, I go, ooh, that didn't align with my values and that doesn't feel good. So then I think, what's the next best move? What's the step that I could take to get back in line with my values? And then I do that. And so then life for me is just a constant interaction with always doing the best I can. The times that I fall short, then the goal is to catch myself as quickly as possible, get back on track as quickly as possible. So develop your own moral compass.
So essentially you're living in a lane of value.
Yeah.
And then when you veer outside of that lane, you have enough, what's that word called? You have enough,
self-awareness.
Yeah. Self-awareness to bring your self back into that lane and maybe apologize to the people who you may or may not have affected when you went outside of that lane.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. Like the awareness rumble strip. And so then what's cause I really like your lane idea. And everyone knows what a rumble strip is. It's like when you're driving on the road and you're getting out of your lane, there's zip, 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 I think there are value rumble strips in our life, which number one is like your own feelings, like your own gut feeling of like, oh, if you think you shouldn't be doing that, you probably shouldn't be doing that. That's like the first rumble strip of like, if my partner knew I was doing this, they wouldn't like that. Or, this just doesn't feel right to me. That'd be the first thing, like, don't do that thing. Another thing that's really, really good for people, and you and I do this together, and hopefully you have other people you do it with too, but another moral rumble strip is having good family and friends, good people that you can talk to that, like, if they see you going down a bad path, let's say, hey, Dan, like, you're better than that, man.
Yeah.
Or, hey, Dan, why are you doing that? That's not cool. Like, that's a moral rumble strip.
Yeah.
In your life. Like they can help kind of warn you, like, I think you're kind of getting off track. Like, I know you and this doesn't sound like you.
Yeah.
So that can help keep you on track.
Yeah. I'll say this, man. There's, you know, continuing with the metaphor, this lane that we live in, dude, it is so easy to fall outside of that lane. Like, sometimes it feels good to be a shitty person. Like, insult someone because they have a different view than you, or hate on someone because they don't provide you with a certain thing, right? Or whatever the case is. Oh, he's a bad person. I'm 100% guilty of that in my past, and it's just so easy to be an alcoholic or a drug user or go eat food and not work out. It's easy to yell at your kids and then continue living that. It's hard to make a mistake and get back up and stay in that lane and go, okay, I made a huge mistake. I got to go tell my boy, I'm sorry I yelled at you, whatever the case is, right? And dude, it's just being a good person is not the easiest thing to do when you could just be a douche, man. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why you will end up with a low quality life if you do that. And you're not likely to end up with high quality people around you if you behave that way.
Yeah.
So it's like you reap what you sow.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're out there sowing those types of seeds, then guess what kind of life you're going to have?
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah, it's the hard way a lot of times. It's also like probably front end loaded of you have to, the more you walk the line, like it's hard to get on the line, but once you're on the line, it's easier to stay on it.
Yeah.
Because you, because it becomes more of a, it becomes more of a habit. Right. Once you're doing better, it's easy to continue doing better.
Yeah.
But what, yeah. If you start to get into this habit of like doing shitty things, then you make excuses for it. And then you just do the next easy out. And then you blame the world, and you got this victim mentality, and like all of that's preventing you from like really looking in the mirror or doing this values exercise that I talked about. You're just going to get more of the same and more of the same. And people like that tend to develop this negative worldview of thinking that the world's against them.
Mm-hmm.
Like life's just harder for me. It's like, oh, life's just hard for me. I'm $15,000 in credit card debt and I just can't get ahead. And it's like, oh, well, let's review your purchases for the past year. And you're like,
right.
Oh, didn't need that. Couldn't afford that. Shouldn't have bought that. Oh, why are you in debt?
Yeah.
You know, now there are some reasons, there are some times where life does just fuck you.
Yeah.
But I think like those are a lot fewer and farther between than like, I think we sink our own ships with 1,000 holes.
Yeah.
It's rare that it's one massive thing that can happen, but I think it's rarer.
Yeah. Okay. So we're talking about the, like how you value yourself, right? It's easy. Like it's easier. How do I put this? I value myself based on, and you even made a list of, verbs or adjectives or whatever. I don't even know what those things are. I'm trying to sound smart.
Me neither.
Yeah. You said,
I could never memorize what each one actually,
I know,
meant.
You said, I am this, I am this. I try to be this and this and this. Okay. What about how, and like you can say, I'm a good dad. Like, I feel like I'm a good dad. I feel like I'm a good husband. I feel like I'm a good friend. I feel like all of these things, I'm a good, enter in whatever label you give yourself. But then you have another person out there who you're in a relationship with. And I want to be, I just want to use kids for my first example here. And that would be, my dad is only a good dad because he lets me have ice cream and lets me stay up late and he lets me play video games all day long.
Yeah.
And that is how you get into a rut there. And then let's say you start to take that away and, oh, now my dad is mean and he's mad and he takes away my devices and things like that. How do you balance what value you give yourself versus the value that other people give you?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's like, to me, that's like the $1 million question, right? The interaction between how we value ourselves and how others mm-hmm. value us. I really think the first thing we have to do is like I said, identify for ourselves. If you don't set your own anchor before getting exposed to other people or before taking in input from other people, I think you're much more likely to be influenced by people who are biased.
Right.
I do think it's a good idea to like pay attention to people that you respect and like emulate them and like identify your values and have a really good explanation for why those are your values. Mm-hmm. Then it would take a lot for someone else to talk you out of it. Right.
Yeah.
Now that being said, like we do care, like you do care what your wife thinks of you. So you do have to, and you do care what your kids think about you.
Yeah.
So another part of your value would likely be, I'm willing to hear feedback from others and consider it.
Yeah.
And then another way that it interacts with like the kind of moral rumble strip that we were talking about is, if you're ever not sure, that's where it's really good to have a good support system where you can bounce ideas off of other people that you trust, that you think are level headed. Then there's this idea that you were just talking about, which is called competing values. So like, this one's really tricky because a competing values happens when you have one value, which is I want my kids to be healthy. And then you have this other value of, I want my kids to like me and feel like I'm there for them and understand them. Mm-hmm. On their own, those are both wonderful values to have. What happens when they clash and it's like, your kid is asking for something that from their perspective, you recognize makes sense for them to be asking for. But from your perspective as a dad, you're like, I'm not letting you have that. Right. Now, all of a sudden, your kids are like, oh, you're this and that, and you're mean, and I hate you, and da, 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 da. That's where you have to decide which value gets elevated and prioritized over the other. And that's where, to me, that's where your values help you make the really tough decisions, mm-hmm. because that's where you can take a stand. If you haven't thought your values through, then all you're going to be as a person is just a plastic bag floating in the wind, mm-hmm. that just gets blown in whatever direction the person trying to manipulate you wants you to go.
Yeah.
But if you know what your values are, then you're standing on solid ground. And So that's where you can say, hey, son, I know you're mad at me, but this is the rule. Mm-hmm. And you can be confident in that. And then you can allow your son to be mad at you around that and recognize that there's a chance that when your son's 30 years old, he'll look back and be like, oh, man, I was so ridiculous for asking for my fourth popsicle that day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know that I think a lot of people have done it, but I don't know that enough people have done the exercise of like anchoring themselves in their own values. What do you think? What do you believe? And why? I don't think it's enough to just say what you think and what you believe. I think the and why is really, really important, because the and why is going to be what chains you to your spot so that no one else can move you, so that no one else can talk you out of your values. Because there's people who would say they have good values, but they're easily swayed. They're easily talked out of them. I think those folks probably haven't spent enough time thinking about why they have the values that they have.
Right.
Why should you do the thing? Why should you do the right thing? Why shouldn't you do the right thing?
Right. When it comes to value, I think a lot of times, especially when you are maybe labeled as a thing, right? And for some reason, the beautiful girl comes to mind, or an athlete who is good enough to go off and continue maybe at a professional level, or somebody with money, right? They are valued based off of their looks or what they can provide for other people and not themselves, right? And if you, like, how would you have a conversation with someone who is struggling with, I am a nice person. I am a good dad. I feel like I am a good husband, but other people are saying your value is you're attractive. Your value is you have a ton of money. Your value is that you're providing this team with a lot of yards and touchdowns or whatever, right? Meanwhile, that person may seem like they have it all, but they're like, well, dude, you only like me because I'm hot. Like, I'm actually smart. I'm actually kind. I would actually be a good mother, or I'm actually a guy who, you know, is going to be a great dad someday, or I go to church, or like, and then you keep listing all of these things.
Right.
Like, if someone came to you and said, hey, dude, I'm only valued by my wife because I make X number of dollars or provide the family with vacations or nice cars and shit like that.
Yeah.
How do you have a conversation to people like that?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think it's a good question. Well, first of all, I think you are smart, kind, and I think you would be a great mother. Okay. I think that one of the best things that we can do there is be a realist and take really good mental and emotional stock of the situation. And you still, the cool thing about values is that it always boils back down to your values.
Mm-hmm.
And so it might help you make some big decisions or know what to do if you think you're just being used.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So like an athlete, for example, could choose to only, an athlete with other talents could choose to like only exploit their athletic talent and be in toxic situations that aren't good for them. Mm-hmm. Or they could say, just because I'm athletic doesn't mean I have to be an athlete.
Yeah.
You know, or an athlete could, let's say that an athlete is trying to be is a professional athlete, and they have a chance to have a much bigger contract and go with a total slimy piece of shit agent, or go with like the more reputable agent, but their contract's not going to be as big. That's where you have, that's a tough decision, mm-hmm. but that's where another cool thing about your values is the moral compass that it is helps you look at yourself in the mirror at the end of the day, helps you sleep at night. You might have to make some hard decisions. Like, hey, I'm going to take I'm going to go with this agent because they're a good person and that's who I want to be affiliated with. And yeah, my contract might not be as big.
Yeah.
And that's just true. If you're dating someone and you start to get the sense that they only like you because of your physical attractiveness, and you don't find that they value you in other ways, and you've brought it up and you've tried to address it and nothing changed, then you might have to make the difficult decision to walk away.
Yeah.
The cool thing about living a values driven life is that when you do the right thing, you feel inherently good inside. And you also have to be willing to accept whatever the consequences are that come with that.
Okay.
So the thing is, it's worth it. So you can either live like a smaller, scared, anxious, shallow life in which you focus on avoiding discomfort, mm-hmm. but you're not going after the person that you want to be. You're not growing into the type of person that you want to be if you're just living in service of avoiding discomfort. And the opposite of that is like knowing who the fuck you are and what the fuck you stand for, and making your decisions based on that, and saying like, hey, I'm going to live and die by this. And then whatever the consequences are, I'm willing to accept.
Yeah. So recently, I'm not going to say names. I ran into somebody who has, and you know, this is I only get to hear it from one version of this. Okay. He met a woman, they got married for, I don't know, 10, 12, 13 years. And he owned his own business. She benefited from that business being successful and all these things. The business hit a rough spot, meaning that the spending for the family and for all this also hit a rough spot, right? He had to make his business survive this low spot. The wife did not understand it, nor did she want to understand it from the sounds of what this guy has been talking to me about. And he has started to realize, well, long story short, she's asked for divorce. Because like the vacation slowed down, the new car every however many years slowed down, and he was only valued for what he was providing as far as possessions, vacations, and things like that. And so now this person is feeling down on themselves. Because all of a sudden he's just like, oh, dude, you're only good if you're providing these things to me.
Yeah.
But when those things were being provided, that person was like, oh, I love this. I love you. You're awesome. And then boom, it slows down. And now it's like, I'm out. Right. What kind of conversation would you have with someone like that, where you think that the person that you have loves you wholeheartedly, and then all of a sudden you start to find out that that's not true, and it's only because of the possessions and vacations you provided them for that many years, dude?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. To me, I try to really always lean hard into being a realist as much as possible. Mm-hmm. I think that's still a big reason why you need to value yourself and know mm-hmm. what you stand for and basically be able to say, well, I've done things according to how I think I should be, and that's just not enough for you. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's especially hard when it's like our closest person. Like if your wife leaves you because you're not providing enough.
Yeah.
You know, you could say, hey, like I'm doing the best I can. You're the one choosing to leave. I think you have to admit that it's hard. You have to stick to your values, and then you have to grieve. Mm-hmm. Like if my friend's wife was leaving him because he wasn't as successful in business anymore, I'd say, hey, she's showing her true colors.
Yeah.
You know, there's this book by Mel Robbins. It's called Let Them, or the Let Them Theory. And the general gist of it, there's like a number of key points, but the gist of it is, if you have to force someone or coerce them to stay with you, then they don't really want to be with you.
Right.
You know? So
yeah,
you have to be willing to let somebody walk away. Mm-hmm. And then you have to be strong enough to grieve it. And I'm not saying like, don't try to work on it. I'm saying after you like, okay, we've got a good relationship. Everything's cool. Awesome. That's easy. Things start to get rocky. Uh-oh. Ooh, things are starting to slide. Hey, let's work on this together mm-hmm. and see if you can. If you can work on it and things get better, then hey, cool. Your relationship might even end up being stronger than it was before because right. you've gone through some stuff together. But if you try hard to work on it and the other person isn't interested in that, or like everybody does try and it really doesn't work out, then you actually kind of have to let the other person walk away because they're voting with their behaviors. Mm-hmm. You know, like you don't want to have somebody in your life only because you've trapped them. You don't want to have somebody in your life only because you've fenced them in.
Right.
So I think you have to be a realist and basically say, hey, I actually think that I did everything pretty well. It was that person's choice to leave.
Yeah.
So it's like, what would you have done differently? You know, if there are some things that you would have done differently, then you take that as a lesson, mm-hmm. but you wouldn't throw yourself under the bus, so to speak. You know, it's like, I worked really hard to get this business going and it was going really well. And due to this weird shift in the market, like things slowed down and da, 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 da. Well, that's not your fault. So then it's like, well, what could I have done though? Well, maybe I could have done more research. I could have been more responsive. I could have da, 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 da.
Yep.
Yeah, fair enough. But I think be a realist about it, generally speaking.
Yeah.
But I think a person who actively, like their entire lives, tries really hard to purposefully respect themselves, I think they're going to be better positioned to take a major blow than somebody that hasn't done the work to respect themselves.
Yeah.
So like divorce, let's say that divorce sucks for everyone.
Yep.
Divorce is probably going to suck worse for somebody who is left with nothing internally versus somebody who all along has been in touch with who they are and why they value themselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Yeah. It's, especially when someone does like a 360 turn on, or 180 turn on you, or if all of a sudden you maybe suspect a certain thing, but then that person maybe comes out and just blatantly tells you what your value is. Like, you know, I want more of this. I want more. I want a bigger house. I want a fancier car. And if you can't provide that to me, well, sorry. I'm just going to, let me ask you a question from a professional standpoint here. How often do people sit in a state of unhappiness before they seek having a tough conversation or leaving a toxic relationship or, I don't know, getting out of whatever it is that is causing them the negative energy? Do you happen to like know anything about that?
Yeah, I think it's really, really common for people to sit in shitty situations for a really long time, because they're afraid to have those hard conversations. Mm-hmm. Also because they don't have the skills to have those hard conversations. It was never role modeled for them. Or they're afraid of confrontation for whatever reason, or, and their reason for being afraid of confrontation might be well-founded. Like, if you're a hothead and I have something important that I need to talk to you about, I'm going to be scared to bring it up to you. Yeah. And that might not be my fault. That might be your fault. Mm-hmm. But if you're not a hothead and I'm afraid to bring things up to you, then the onus lies with me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's, this is where conflict, like maybe it's conflict, maybe it's one person saying, oh man, look at all these, you know, I wish my wife did this, or I wish my husband did this, or and you never have the conversation with them. And then what you do is you put a label on them because they're not providing you, whether it's emotional support or a possession or something. And what you're doing is you're taking outside influence like social media or a family that has a income that is much greater than yours. And then you start to compare your life to theirs. And then you hold the person accountable for that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so you're being influenced by outside.
Big time.
Yeah. I keep keeping up with the Joneses. And because now that's going to cause huge conflict in your life, especially like, let's not kid ourselves. The married life. Right. And maybe it's a man going, hey, I need to have this truck, because this truck is what all these other people have. I know I can't afford it. It's going to stretch, but I'm going to get it anyway. Or these golf clubs, because I got to have it. Or it could be the other way too. You know, like, hey, I want to go on vacations, or hey, I need to, I want a bigger house. This house is not good for me anymore, or things like that. And so this thought of comparing your life to other people's lives is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And it's only going to cause problems. Right.
Yeah.
The other thing that I want to bring up, and I heard this morning, cause I do my fair share of scrolling too, but I was looking up before we started recording, like, how men value themselves, right? How a man should value themselves. And if your main focus is always trying to make other people happy, well, you're not ever going to be truly happy yourself, right? And that's not for a man thing. That's just a person thing, right? If you you need other people to make you happy, there's issues there big time.
Yeah.
Right.
That's called being externally anchored or externally dependent instead of internally, like we were talking about.
Yep.
It's so hard to know, like, there's 8 billion people on the planet, so there's 8 billion different rubrics for what's good. Whose do you choose? You can't change yourself according to every single person that you meet.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to agree with a lot of them on a lot of things. Also, like, nobody, it'd be interesting if every stranger walked up to you and handed you a sheet of paper that outlined exactly the way they want you to behave in order for them to accept you.
Yeah.
Even if we had a society like that, would you want that? Or would you want to say, I'm Dan, I'm going to behave as Dan behaves, I'm going to be cool with whoever likes that?
Yeah.
Like, right. Yep. Like, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to keeping up with the Joneses, and comparing relationships and stuff, I think to me, that's a really good example of drifting from your values, or your values getting hijacked. Because I would bet money that if someone did an exercise where they sat down and really, like, took time to look within and identify what their values are, I bet they wouldn't say, I need to have so it's like, do you want to have a happy family or do you want to have a big house? Hopefully people would say, I want to have a happy family. Do I want to be close to my partner or do I want to go on a fancy vacation? I hope they would say, I want to be close to my partner. But if they never do that exercise, it's easy to have the positive values fade out of imagination. And you're just seeking comfort. And you've probably heard this said, it's not my thought, but comfort is the biggest addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of people's biggest problems, generally speaking, is wanting.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting. Like, you want to be happier? Want less.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if you didn't want that big vacation, then you'd probably be way happier. If you didn't want that big truck, you'd probably be happier.
Right.
No, like, go after what you can actually get, save up for what you can actually get, and be a realist.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to cherry pick all the best things from everybody else's life. But that's when you get, that means that you've gotten caught up in a stream of thought that's taking you away from what's actually important to you. And that's where you need to recenter. I think you really need to do some good, hard look within and say, what am I doing with my life? Who am I? What type of person am I becoming? How am I treating the people around me? Mm-hmm. If I'm badgering my spouse because I want to go on a fancy vacation, dude, would I have listed that in my values?
Mm-hmm.
making my partner feel worthless?
Mm-hmm.
Is that in your values somewhere? Because I bet it's not, but you're doing it.
Yeah.
No, and everything that I say, I apply to myself too. And I'm also not perfect. And when I make mistakes and I get caught up in shitty ways of thinking and that doesn't pan out well for me. And then I have to go, oh shit, Kyle, let's get back on track here.
Yeah.
So I, all these things that I'm saying, I recognize are I'm saying how it could be if you kind of anchored yourself in perfection and then recognizing that none of us are perfect. So we're always going to fall short. So I don't want anybody thinking that I'm preaching saying just live life like me and it'll be great. I'm human too. I'm flawed too. Right. I make mistakes and all of these things that I'm talking about. I'm just sharing the framework that I try to use to get back on track.
Right. 100%.
Stay on track. Keep my moral compass calibrated as best I can while fully recognizing I'm imperfect.
Exactly. But there's times where said person can also be an enabler themselves towards that behavior and the first thing that happens is just money, right?
Yeah.
If you have a ton of money or enough money to have all of these things and have the house and have the car and have all of these things, and that's what you're actually using to get, I'm just going to say a girl. Well, that girl or that partner is going to, you're using it. Hey, you want to come on my boat this weekend? You want to get in my car and go to a winery? You want to take this trip? You want to spend the night in my big house? Like, if you're actually using those things to get relationships, well, then you have to expect that those relationships are built off of things that don't matter, as opposed to who you actually are. And I'm guessing eventually what will happen is that those relationships will crumble because you're not feeling like you are appreciated, even though you are the one who set all of this up.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
So
you reap what you sow. You set that whole dynamic in motion.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. Which is why if I ever win the lottery, you won't even know it. Like, you won't even know it at all.
I hope you do win the lottery. And then the next time we get on this podcast, you've got five gigantic gold chains and
Versace, just looking ridiculous. I'm just driving a stretch Ferrari around Swisher.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, hey, Dan, I heard that there was a local winner of the lottery. Was that you? And you're like, no.
No. And I got a grill in, a big smile, but I have a diamond grill from Paul Wall.
Yeah. What makes you say that, Kyle? Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Hey, I give you a high five and there's all these gold rings on it.
No, that's right. Not me. That wasn't me. I don't know.
So, well, I think this has been a good conversation. Anything else that you feel we need to touch base on before we end it?
If you feel like you're caught up in an unhappy direction in your life, mm-hmm. maybe take pause and take time to write down what's really important to you, the type of person that you want to be, the type of life that you want to have that doesn't revolve around materialism, how you want to treat other people because you think it's right,
mm-hmm.
how you want to be treated by other people because you think it's right, and then use all of that as a rubric to compare your behaviors to mm-hmm. and the way that you treat other people and the way that you allow other people to treat you.
Right.
And then you might have to start making some decisions accordingly.
Yeah.
And that gives, again, when you know what you think and more important and additionally why you think that, then it gives you firm ground to stand on. So a person could, one partner could stand up to the other partner and say, hey, it really feels like you're using me. Feels like you're only happy with me when I'm providing you with expensive things. And that doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
And the other person might go, oh, clutch my pearls. Yeah. And it's like, well, yeah. So now you have to be held accountable. And you might end up like, you know, I don't want things to end in divorce. You know, hopefully that would then spur a conversation of how do we value each other and how do we treat each other? And is there any truth to what the partner said?
Yeah.
And there's we could have a whole, I think we could have a whole nother episode on this.
Let's do it next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've got more ideas.
Write it down, take your notes, and let's continue this conversation next week. I just want to say thank you, Kyle, for bringing a lot of insight into these conversations. Huge shout out to everybody who continues to listen to this podcast. And if you're new to this, do us a favor and go back and check out the previous episodes because we've had some really good conversations, I feel. In the past. So also go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you download this or listen to this episode, subscribe, like, do all of the stuff that I absolutely hate. Smash that like button, dog. Subscribe to this and that way it comes directly to you. Kyle, thank you for your time. Everybody else, thank you for your time and we'll talk to you next week.